now because there really isn't anybody to monitor them, or are there reports they don't have to fill out because there's no one to submit them to?
Well, they have reports to fill out. It's just that nobody's looking at the reports that they're filling out. And they certainly are getting a pass. I mean, EPA typically conducts, in 2011, they conducted about 19,000 inspections of polluting facilities, industrial facilities. That works out to about 365 inspections per week. So just in the more than 1 week that we've had a shutdown of the federal government, probably close to 400 inspections have not taken place in industrial facilities in terms of pollution emissions.
And we're not just talking about industrial facilities. I mean, we're talking about industries related to food services and all kinds of other things as well.
Well, that's true. The food situation is a little bit more complex because we have such a convoluted food safety regime here in the United States right now. Meats, poultry are inspected by the Department of Agriculture through the Food Security Inspection Service. And the FSIS inspects all of those facilities on site, and all of those inspectors are actually working because they've been exempt under the shutdown. However, other foods are under the jurisdiction of the Federal Food and Drug Administration, and the Food and Drug Administration has suspended their inspections, for example, of imports of fruits and vegetables, so on, that are being imported into the United States. So while one aspect of our food system is working, the other aspect that covers a different set of foods is not working in terms of protecting our health.
And besides industry and food, there is also inspections related to our infrastructure.
I don't have information on the situation with those kinds of infrastructures, but what I can tell you is another set of concerns relate to worker safety and health with respect to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. And there again, they've seen a dramatic reduction in the amount of staff that are working. Less than about 10% of OSHA staff are currently working. OSHA typically receives, historically, several hundred complaints from workers every single day with respect to problems with safety and health in their work sites. And unless one of those complaints rises to the level of an imminent danger to a worker's safety or health, they're really not going to be investigated while all of these OSHA employees are not working.
Well, you know, that really brings up a very timely example. I mean, the incident where the Capitol Police were working while they were, you know, not being paid, I mean, that's probably, I think, the best example of what you're talking about. Are those workers protected by the regulations of OSHA, even though there's no one to enforce them? And I mean, do they still get the benefits of other federal protections, even though they're being asked to work without pay?
I was really talking about people who are working in factories or in construction sites or those kinds of facilities where, you know, we have literally hundreds of thousands of workers who are out there working in these facilities, in manufacturing facilities and construction sites and so on. And again, if they are our eyes and ears on the ground for unsafe and unhealthy working conditions, and if their reports are not going to be followed up on in a timely way, that has the potential to lead to some really unfortunate problems where workers are going to be directly impacted by having to work in unsafe and unhealthy conditions.
I was looking at your website, and you focus not only on regulatory compliance, but governmental transparency as well?
That's correct, yeah. That's the center is involved on trying to encourage a transparent government.
Now, what does that mean, especially in light of the shutdown right now? What does that mean?
Well, that means that in terms of availability of information, availability of data, that that the public has access to good information about what their government does, how it operates, what data it uses to develop its programs, so that the operations of government are transparent to the general public.
So you're not talking about a particular instance, like, for instance, when the September job numbers weren't able to be released because there was no one in the Bureau of Labor Statistics to release them?
Well, that's one example of where we've seen, unfortunately, a lack of transparency in terms of information. So certainly that would be one example. You know, we really are concerned more broadly about the ability of the public to have access to information about how government works and what it does and how it's what basis it's operating on for developing its programs. Those are important pieces of information. People need to have information about their exposure to pollutants in the environment. They need to have information about what's going on in their workplaces. They need to have information about other aspects of their life in terms of programs that protect them from predatory lending practices or banking practices. So there's a whole range of issues here that the Center for Effective Government covers in terms of public access to information and also to protecting public's interest in terms of how government and goes about regulating those who we are involved with on an everyday basis.
When you do your work on a day-to-day basis, do you ever make any kind of draw any kind of relationship between the current ideological fights that are going on in Congress and issues around political fundraising or issues like Citizens United or anything like that? I mean, do you ever draw any kind of direct correlation in your policy work between what gets done and how it gets done through lobbying efforts and things like that?
That's not the area that I work in directly. The CEG has done some work in that, and there are also other organizations that have focused very specifically on that topic in terms of how spending by industry has influenced regulatory and legislative decision making.
Right, because I think of organizations like the American Executive Legislative Council. I think it's called ALEC. Mm-hmm. That's had a large effect on state legislatures.
Right.
I guess the other question I have is looking at your website, and I was going through some of your articles in your press room. What is the ongoing mission of your organization in terms of, especially for a period like right now, how are you getting the word out to people about how they need to make government accountable and transparent right now when government is essentially closed to the American citizen?
Well, we're working, you know, we're communicating in a variety of ways. We're blogging. We put out a newsletter electronically that provides more in-depth information on some of these issues. We have information, and we disseminate information via Twitter. So we're utilizing a lot of the electronic media to get the word out on the issues that we're talking about. We also are involved with other organizations through a coalition called the Coalition for Sensible Safeguards, which the Center for Effective Government serves as co-chair of, along with Public Citizen. And it's through this organization of about 140 environmental groups, good government groups, unions, and other kinds of organizations involved with defending the public interest that we're getting the word out about what's going on right now while the government is shut down.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you wanted to talk about or mention?
There's some other less obvious kinds of problems associated with the government shutdown in terms of protections that are provided. So one of the things that is a concern is that states have responsibility for inspecting nursing homes that are funded by Medicare and Medicaid. That's funding that comes through the federal government. Regular kinds of inspections of nursing homes have stopped under the government shutdown because the money is just not continuing to flow from the feds to the state. In terms of mine safety, while inspectors are still in mines, the kinds of standard inspections that are supposed to be done on a quarterly basis for underground mines and on a semi-annual basis for open mines, above-ground mines, those are not occurring either. They're just focusing on the mines that have a history of having a high hazard potential. Well, this past weekend, we had 3 days in a row, we had deaths of individuals in mines in different parts of the country. Now, whether those are related to the government shutdown is hard to know. At least a couple of those mines had been recently inspected. But the bottom line is that in terms of potential, if this continues for any more length of time, there's a real concern here that all of these, the lack of inspections, whether it's nursing homes or in mines, whether it's EPA's inability to go and inspect industrial facilities, whether it's OSHA's ability to respond to worker complaints, all of those going to put the public at greater risk for their safety and health. And that, I think, is the bottom line message here that we're trying to get out.
I know there's an ideology that believes the less government regulation, the better. But do you think that people are not always aware of just how much government does to improve their quality of life?
Absolutely, and I think that's one of the messages that we're trying to get out at Center for Effective Government is just that government has an important role to play in providing health and safety, among other kinds of services, to the public. And the public sometimes doesn't really see that. They don't necessarily see all of the different efforts that the government undertakes to provide them with a healthy and safe environment, to protect them, whether it's from predatory lending services or from other kinds of challenges in their lives. So, government has an important role to play in serving the public. So this image of government being an obstruction and overreaching, while certainly there are certain concerns about privacy and so on, the bottom line message is that government does have a very important role to play in our lives and in serving the general public.
Well, Mr. White, thank you very much for talking with me. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks very much for having me on.
Ronald White is the Director of Regulatory Policy for the Center for Effective Government. It's an organization that focuses on environmental, worker safety, and fiscal policy issues. I'm Don Merrill. Thanks for listening.
And you're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is now 9:57. Coming up, Air Cascadia with Chris Andre. Stay tuned.
Tune in to The Dirtbag every second Wednesday of the month at 11 a.m.
Learn to grow your tasty fruits and vegetables in your home garden.
There is a monthly garden stumper, calendar of gardening events. You can even call in with your gardening questions.
That's The Dirtbag every second Wednesday, 11 to 12 a.m. That's on
K-B-O-O
Portland. Listen,
laugh,
learn.
The farmer is the man that feeds them all.
KBOO's fall membership drive starts on the 10th, and you could help make reaching our fundraising goal a little easier by offering a matching donation of at least $500 for us to use on air during the drive. Matching money is a really great motivator to entice our non-contributing listeners to donate. So please email membership at kboo.org if you would like to sign up or have any questions. Or just call 503-231-8032 and ask for the membership department to plan your fall drive matching gift today.
Have you ever been talking about government spying when someone says, "Well, if you aren't doing anything wrong, why are you worried?" Heidi Boghossian's new book, Spying on Democracy, is all the answer you'll need. I'm Linda Olsen-Osterlund. Help me kick off KABU's fall membership drive. Tune in to A Deeper Look Thursday, October 10th at 9:30 a.m. My guest is Heidi Boghossian, Executive Director of the National Lawyers Guild. She'll talk about her new book, Spying on Democracy. You'll have an opportunity to become a member, get the book, and answer those doubting friends. That's A Deeper Look Thursday at 9:30 a.m. right here on KBOO.
And you're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, Air Cascadia with Chris Andre.